This week on Making Contact.
People from every country in the world should have liberty, homes, food, health, so they can live happily with dignity.
What the forum has offered to many of us who did not make it last year is the knowledge and the ability to build alliances amongst each other for the construction of a world that is free of exclusion, free of discrimination.
While CEOs and government officials rubbed elbows in New York City at the closed-door World Economic Forum in early 2002, people from around the world traveled to Porto Alegre, Brazil, to attend the World Social Forum. On this program, we hear from farmers, organizers, union members, and others about their work in a growing movement to establish alternatives to corporate-led globalization. I'm Shireen Marisol Meraji, your host this week on Making Contact, an international radio program seeking to create connections between people, vital ideas, and important information. Under the banner Another World is Possible, nearly 40,000 representatives from grassroots groups and social movements gathered in Porto Alegre, Brazil, in February 2002. The second annual World Social Forum welcomed participants from 150 countries seeking to establish alternatives to corporate-led economic globalization. Alejandro Bandana is the director of the Center for International Studies in Managua, Nicaragua. At a forum organized by the Institute for Policy Studies prior to the conference, Bandana stressed the importance of creating other economic models and systems.
Alternatives. The difference between this social forum and the past one is that there is a deliberate attempt to be more than what someone called a supermarket of ideas, or just a big debating platform. We've got to go from debating to alternatives, which in terms of methodology and people who have been organizing this and preparing for this means ensuring a sustainability, not simply an event in one capital in one year, but indeed a multiplicity of forums. You might think about that in North America, as the European Citizens Congress identified itself as a European social forum. There's been national forums, there's an African social forum. So we're talking about a framework for discussion and alternatives that is at the same time more inclusive, more interactive, and more focused. Which doesn't mean it still won't be a circus when you get there, but this is a process. This is something to come out and crystallize ideas, propositions, and above all for networking and alliance building, because without falling into the notions of transnational global society and all of that, there is a need for national movements, from labor, environmentalist, and other, to link horizontally and vertically with each other.
Many alliances formed at protests held in Seattle in 1999 during the World Trade Organization ministerial, and media coverage of critiques of globalization grew significantly. Links grew stronger among groups after Seattle as organizing stepped up internationally, according to John Cavanna, IPS director. At the forum, Cavanna said that while the anti-globalization movement really began over 500 years ago, when Columbus and other colonizers invaded the Americas, the current movement has roots in the 1960s and 1970s, in an age of debate about development and corporate power. That time was followed by what he calls the Dark Ages, when free trade agreements were negotiated and global bodies such as the World Trade Organization were created. Then in 1997, Cavanna says there were some very positive victories.
I would pin it at 97 because it's when we started winning things. We beat Fast Track here in the U.S. in 97. We beat it again in 98. We beat this terrible proposal for something called the Multilateral Agreement on Investments, a kind of corporate bill of rights that was proposed. We began to win some debt reduction. We began to get the pharmaceutical companies on the defensive. The Asian financial crisis in 97 exposed a lot of the deep problems of the global economic globalization system. We started to mobilize mass numbers of people. It was the glory days.
After September 11th, media and the public paid little attention to an upcoming WTO meeting in Qatar and a fast-track vote in Congress. The WTO meeting got little coverage, and President Bush received the power to craft free trade agreements without congressional amendments. But Cavanna emphasized that activists were successful in creating roadblocks to the corporate globalization agenda, He says the strength of the movement is rooted in the strength of its components.
There are farm movements around the world. There are environmental movements around the world. There are labor movements around the world involved in daily struggles around living wages, around protecting the rights of farmers to their seeds and so on. Those struggles continue on a daily basis. They have not gone away. And our power is strengthened when things go badly for the other side. Argentina, in terms of the whole approach of the IMF and World Bank. Enron, in terms of the whole notion of deregulated, liberalized markets, which has been at the centerpiece of the alternative model. Both have deep, deep implications for the ability of the other side to gain momentum. So in sum, I do think that September 11th has created some setbacks for us. And I think perhaps even you could say that this movement, which had so much momentum, has been set back perhaps a year. But social movements are killed, or they die away, or they fall to the side, either when they win, civil rights movement, anti-Vietnam War movement, or when they are brutally suppressed. In this case, you have a movement which is suffering a bit from the national discussion and the global discussion being shifted for a period to another topic. But the very conditions which convince millions of farmers, of workers, of environmentalists, of students, and others to join movements around the world and come together are there, and in some ways are stronger than ever.
Tens of thousands of people were clearly not deterred from their plans to attend the six-day World Social Forum in Porto Alegre, Brazil. Correspondent Angela Isfording traveled there and filed this report at the opening march.
Wednesday afternoon, right before the inauguration, an endless crowd of people flooded the center of Porto Alegre. The tropical rain had stopped and the sun came out to greet thousands of groups and organizations, each carrying its banner and chanting its song. The diversity couldn't have been greater. Members of different left-wing parties of Brazil, overall, of course, the Workers' Party, the PT, the unions, ecologists, feminists, homosexuals, yoga teachers, many, many people. The world showed itself with its most colorful face, and the atmosphere was magnificent. Most participants were from Latin America, eager as everyone else to share the problems and proposals of their country with the world. Federico from Uruguay tells about the people's fight for access to a high-class resort on the Atlantic coast in his country.
Queremos decir que al foro, al segundo foro social mundial, los uruguayos venimos.
What we want to say to the Second World Social Forum is, we Uruguayans are more motivated than ever, because on January 24th, we led a national march against the beach resort at Punta del Este. It's only being visited by international tourists because working Uruguayans don't have access to that area of the country. And the government actually prohibited us from going there and blocked us from getting any closer than 7 kilometers away from the resort. So we have come here to tell the other workers and people all over the world that as of this year, democracy in Uruguay is being rolled back because working people can no longer travel freely within our national borders.
Although armed movements are not allowed as foreign delegates, the political institutions are present, as is the Henry Batasuna from the Basque Country. Their goal is freedom for the peoples. Here is a greeting in Spanish and Basque.
We've come to Porto Alegre to meet with other people to build a better world, one that encompasses freedom for all pueblos and all peoples.
There are quite a few Europeans present in the forum, more important than ever in a region which is opening markets among their member countries and closing down borders to everybody else. For Maurice from Belgium, there's more to humanity than economic profit.
Nous sommes ici parce que c'est un moment important.
We are here because it is an important moment to make it known to the economic and political leaders of this world, who have only one creed, money, that the people demand more social justice, more solidarity, and more democracy.
There are also many feminist groups from all over the world assisting at the forum. Maria's group from Rio de Janeiro. They fight against fundamentalism, violence, and the cloning of human beings.
Estamos participando del movimiento de mujeres nacional, internacional, contra los fundamentalismos, contra la violencia.
We're a part of a national and international movement of women fighting against fundamentalism and against violence. And our organization has a proposal against human cloning. We're also against reproductive biotechnologies.
The indigenous people of Brazil are suffering deprivation and discrimination on an institutional and on an individual level. They expect from the forum a very clear statement about land rights and cultural tolerance.
Somos de los pueblos indígenas de Brasil, Caingangue, Carajá, Xerente y Krenak.
We're from the indigenous pueblos in Brazil. The way we explain our presence here at the forum is to bring forward the demands of the indigenous peoples of Brazil and the demands of our land struggle for the reconquest of our territories and the devolution of our traditional lands that were taken away from us. We want the governments to recognize the struggle of the indigenous people of all Latin America and return our land to us.
In an event like this, the rainbow flag seemed to represent more than the homosexual movement. The gay groups will be present at the forum with information stands and strategic workshops.
Mi grupo se llama Nuances, un grupo, una ONG aquí de Porto Alegre.
My group is called Nuances. It's a group here in Porto Alegre. We work on sexual issues. We're going to have a stand at the forum with material and information about AIDS prevention and human rights.
Another colorful spot in the crowd was a small group of Indian yoga teachers.
We represent one yoga organization. This is called Ananda Marga. Our expectation to have a different kinds of exchange of ideas and to revolutionize our social problems and to find out some solutions.
You're listening to Making Contact, a production of the National Radio Project. This program can now be heard across the United States, Canada, South Africa, and around the world on Radio for Peace International Shortwave. You can also hear us on the internet at radioproject.org. That's radioproject.org. If you want more information about the subject of this week's program, or if you would like to reach any of our guests, please give us a call. It's toll-free, 800-529-5736. Call that same phone number for tapes and transcript orders. That's 1-800-529-5736. We also welcome comments and suggestions for future programs. Along with the many conferences, workshops, and seminars, some of the participants of the World Social Forum had a rare opportunity to visit nearby rural sites of sustainable development projects. One of them was created by Brazil's Landless Workers Movement, or MST. For over 15 years, the MST has been organizing Brazil's rural poor in the fights over land reform. Through occupation and other tactics, it has secured land for over 250,000 families. It has also established cooperatives and provides education and health care to many poor families. In Porto Alegre, the MST opened up its doors and invited delegations from the World Social Forum to visit their assentamento, or farm community. Correspondent Luz Ruiz reports from Capela, Brazil.
His face burnt by the scorching southern sun. A soft-spoken man wearing a red shirt stood before an unlikely group of visitors. Union organizers, economic rights activists, student and youth organizers, church activists, and immigrant rights promoters, among others. Rivelino, as he identified himself to the motley crew of the United States-based activist, was flanked by two other men and two children who walked proudly into the crowd of foreigners donning the symbols of the MST. Brazil's most well-known campesino organization, the Landless Workers Movement.
Temos dois símbolos. Dois símbolos maiores que sempre nos acompanham. A bandeira do MST,
We have two major symbols that always accompany us. The MST flag, which is red because it's the color of the blood of the farm workers' struggle for agrarian reform. The flag also has a man and a woman because we understand that men and women must fight together for social transformation. The Brazilian flag represents our patriotism, our love for our country. The blue part has progress and order written on it, order so that no one goes hungry, and progress for a happy country. These are the two symbols of resistance present in the occupations, the marches, and all of the struggles that the MST has gone through in Brazil.
The Second World Social Forum in Porto Alegre, Brazil, had begun, and members of the U.S. delegation took the time to travel 45 kilometers southwest of Porto Alegre to visit Capela, an established MST community that miraculously won the titles to their land a mere 6 months after occupying it in 1994. Manuel, a state representative for the MST in Rio Grande del Sur, Brazil's southernmost state and birthplace to the movement, shared the history of the origins of the MST with his visitors.
In the end of 1979, the beginning of 1980, there was a period in Brazil where there was a transformation in agriculture. The mechanization of agriculture took place. Tractors and big machines began to displace and substitute the workers who had worked the land. This was the main factor why the workers started to be expelled from the land, because of this technological advancement known as the Brazilian Revolution during the country's development. So the people had nowhere to go. They did not have land, they did not have work, and they started to organize the landless movement. This fight for land wasn't new in Brazil's history. It is a part of a series of struggles that have taken place in our country from the period of slavery and the African people. Later, with the invasion of the Portuguese, the fight against the indigenous population, and many other struggles involve the fight for land in our country. So from the period of 1979 onwards, with the mechanization of agriculture, farmers searched for land and for better living conditions. From that point on, farmers began to organize. With the help of the CPT, the Committee of the Catholic Church, we began to organize a camp and blockades in Natalino, here in our state, Rio Grande do Sul. Soon after, the movement started to organize in various other states in Brazil. Our three main objectives are the struggle for the land, to distribute the land, because we understand that the land is the only thing the farmer has to sustain himself, and to produce for a sustainable society. Our second goal is land reform. Land reform, the distribution of land, the distribution of production means and subsidies to develop agriculture, education, health, are the just measures that will ensure the well-being of the families in the settlements and all Brazilian families. Our third objective, our biggest goal, on which we base all of our struggles, is an overall transformation in society, the construction of a new way of organizing, where all people, whether they're from the MST or not, people from every country in the world should have liberty, homes, food, health, so they can live happily with dignity. Those are the three objectives that we work toward for what we struggle.
The MST's long struggle won them recognition worldwide as an alternate model to macro-development policies driven by the World Trade Organization, World Bank, and International Monetary Fund. Today, 250,000 families live in 1,600 recuperated landholdings in 23 Brazilian states. Gilberto, a member of the MST production cooperative Innova Santa Rita Limited, Tacopan, explained that their collective systems of production are the pillars to maintaining their self-sufficiency, autonomy, a higher quality of life, and dignity.
Internamente, a cooperativa trabalha em setores de produção. Todos os meios de produção, a terra, os animais, as máquinas, são de uso comum.
Internally, the cooperative is organized in production sectors. All means for production, the land, the animals, the machines, are completely communal. We organize our time by hours worked, and there is a yearly plan of production strategies, and we have four lines of products for the market: rice harvesting, pig and chicken growing, dairy products, and fruits and vegetables.
Ocupar, resistir, produzir, ocupar, resistir.
To occupy, resist, and produce are the principles they live by. Mass mobilizations, rallies, sit-ins, hunger strikes, and non-occupations are tactics they've employed against state and local officials to settle disputes over the land titles, agrarian reform, and credits for agriculture. More than 100,000 MST children study in some 1,000 schools that have been erected in the MST villages, where the organization succeeded in its efforts to get the government to cede land titles, which recently won them an international award for their education policies from UNICEF. Nonetheless, the MST's land occupations and denunciations of cuts in social spending for the benefit of international financial institutions have made them subject to government surveillance and repression. Rivelino, the local president of the MST at Capela, commented on the brutal repression that the MST has suffered at the hands of the state security forces in states in northern Brazil where close political ties to the generally sympathetic Brazilian Workers' Party do not exist. Such is the case in Amapá and Rondônia, where at least 27 of their members were massacred on two separate occasions.
Aqui no sul não é muito comum os grupos paramilitares. Ultimamente estão começando a se organizar.
Here in the south, the paramilitary groups are not that common. Lately, however, they have begun to organize in other areas. The state government has a new policy of using the state security forces and the military. An example of this is in Paraná, Brasília, in central, western, and northern Brazil, where there is state violence carried out by the military forces, like in Colombia. El Dorado Coraya and the Amapá state, where 19 companeros died in confrontations with the police, and in Rondônia, where another 8 companeros were also killed. Despite this violence, we do not defend ourselves with weapons. It's a thing of the past that the MST will occupy or invade lands with arms. People do go with machetes, hoes, and knives because these are the tools needed to work the land.
Since the September 11 attacks in the United States, President Bush has repeatedly stressed that the free trade agreements, such as the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA, are the means to extend democracy to the rest of the world. Yet, the very model imposed by international financial institutions, and now set to be imposed in Afghanistan, is precisely what the MST and the 60,000 other participants at the World Social Forum were calling into question. In this sense, the MST's call to globalize hope and to globalize resistance resonated amongst the thousands of participants who attended this forum, where another world is possible was the unifying theme. From Capela, Brazil, I'm Luz Ruiz.
Chegando e vou arregaçar. O meu nome é Trifire, brasileiro e pá, 100% atitude. Eu sou do Brasil, mandando todo mundo. Aí ninguém me viu. Fórum social é trilegal. Eu tô na fita, eu não complico. Pro lado de lá, ensina. A rima é forte, mandamos pá pra todos os países. Fórum social do jeito que eu sempre quis. Sem exclusão social e nada mais e tal. Aqui é o Fire do Brasil, tamo tudo legal.
When the forum in Porto Alegre came to a close, some news reports described it as an activist circus and photo opportunity for politicians. Despite such media coverage, participants said that important exchanges amongst grassroots groups took place, as well as debates between activists and officials from the World Bank and the United Nations. There were goals to hold regional forums as well, and attendees expressed hope about the organizing that had taken place and said they looked forward to maintaining those connections until the next forum.
My name is Pumi Mtetwa. I'm South African, currently living and working in Ecuador. I coordinate and convene the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual and Transgendered People's South-South Dialogue. I think that what has been immense is the amount of knowledge that exists today among civil society in terms of understanding capitalism, neoliberalism and globalization. I think what the forum has offered to many of us who did not make it last year is first of all the knowledge and secondly the ability to build alliances amongst each other for the construction of a world that is free of exclusion, free of discrimination, and one that actually respects the environment.
My name is Alyssa Wilson and I'm from the United States. I'm here with the Center on Philanthropy.
at Indiana University. I guess my biggest impression was how much energy there really is from different places about international democracy and being able to create a different type of system where there's more participation. Because in the United States, it's not something we talk about at all, that there's a chance for a different type of global arrangement so that there's more participation from other countries and from individuals themselves.
Mi nombre es Javier Valderas Castillo. Soy del Centro de Derechos Humanos Tepeyac del Istmo de Tehuantepec.
My name is Javier Valderas Castillo. I'm from the Center for Human Rights in the Isthmus of Tehuantepec. The most important outcome is that we can all get together to discuss defending the same rights. The biggest impression for us was that we found people who had the same mentality about human rights that we do, who we thought would disagree with us. And to see that shows most definitely it's the same system, here, there, and around the world.
I'm Daina Fuentes-Fina from the Freedom from Death Coalition in the Philippines. I feel that there is a need for us to strengthen our own campaigns in our own countries because it's kind of a little easy coming together and sharing of experiences, but it's quite hard in our own country. For example, we have this death campaign in the Philippines. We have the death campaign, the Jubilee South campaign. I guess I have to share the unity of the South and the support of the concerned people from the North, some of the concerned people from the North. But there's more work. Work will never be over.
My name is Dada Maheshwarananda, and I'm a yoga teacher and monk. I'm from the United States. Today I'm launching this book, After Capitalism, a Prout's vision for a new world based on cooperatives and solidarity of all people. With more than 3,000 groups representing more than 110 countries, this is creating networks of solidarity, networks that we all have the same dream. We all share a hope for a new world. And together we can do it. Individually we can't.
That's it for this edition of Making Contact, a look at the World Social Forum in Brazil. Thanks for listening. And special thanks this week to World Social Forum Multimedia Initiative. For more information, go to www.infoposible.org. That's www.infoposible.org. Thanks also to Eric Lever and the Institute for Policy Studies, and to Luz Ruiz for recorded portions. We had translation from Gerons Burke and voiceovers from Damiani Rizzari, Philip Babich, Paul Friedman, Walter Daly, and Aikwe. Philip Babich is our managing producer, Laura Lavati, managing director, Peggy Law, executive director, Stephanie Welch, co-producer, administrative coordinator, Rosalind Fay, women's desk director, Lisa Redmond, senior advisor, Norman Solomon, national producer, David Barsamian, and I'm your host and co-producer, Shireen Marisol Meraji. If you want more information about the subject of this week's program, or if you would like to reach any of our guests, call the National Radio Project at 1-800-529-5736. Call that same number for tapes and transcripts. That's 800-529-5736. You can also go to our website at radioproject.org. That's radioproject.org. Making Contact is an independent production. We're committed to providing a forum for voices and opinions not often heard in the mass media. If you have suggestions for future programs, we'd love to hear from you. Our theme music is by the Charlie Hunter Trio. Until next time.